Will you please turn to the letter to the Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1. We read from verse 15 through verse 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is in you, and the love which ye have towards all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you at my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him, being enlightened in the eyes of your heart, so that ye should know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of the might of his strength, in which he wrought in the Christ in raising him from among the dead, and he set him down at his right hand in the heavenlies, above every principality and authority and power and dominion and every name named, not only in this age but also in that to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let us underline verse 19. And what the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll read from verse 6 through verse 9. They therefore, being come together, asked him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that thou restorest the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not yours to know times or seasons, which the Father has placed in his own authority. But ye will receive power, the Holy Spirit having come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And having said these things, he was taken up, they beholding him, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, how we do praise and thank thee that we may gather together unto thy name. We know that thou art here with us, and we do pray that thou will remove any veil that may be upon our mind and our hearts. Lord, that we may see thee, we may hear thee. Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We do thank the Lord for gathering us together here this time. And we believe that the Lord gather us for a purpose. And we do look to the Lord that that purpose may be realized to the praise of his glory. I believe everybody knows the theme of this conference is spiritual power. It is said that the 70s is the me decade. And the 80s is the decade of money power. And the 90th is the decade of power, period. Not only the whole world seems to be talking about power. Among God's people, power is upon the lips of many of God's children. We need power. Thank God that the church today is conscious of her lack of power. Where is the power that we've seen demonstrated in the book of Acts? In the history of the early church, during those 30-odd years, after the Lord's ascension, we find that the power of the gospel prevailed over the known world. In only 30-some years, the gospel had been preached from Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. At that time, the end of the earth is Rome. We notice such spiritual power in the church in those early days. Even in the second and the third century, when the church went through great persecutions, the Roman Empire exerted its force to wipe out the church. But we notice, even in those days, there is such power to suffer, to endure, to be faithful, and to overcome. We see the power among those martyrs. The glory of the Lord was upon them. That power was so powerful that it was not the Roman Empire that conquered the church. It was the Roman Empire itself that was conquered. Now we come to the end, towards the end of this age. And it is but right for us to think of power. Where is the power of the gospel? Where is the power of the Word of God? Where is the power that we see in the book of Acts, in church history? We need power to conclude this age. I believe the longing, the thirsting for power is so great among God's people that they become indiscriminate. As long as there is power, no matter what kind of power it is, we want it. We grasp at it. And because of this, we find there is much confusion, much destruction, many counterfeits, many deceptions, in this whole area of power. We forget that in this universe, there is more power than one. In other words, aside from God's power, there are many other powers existing in this world. And unless we are able to discern, to differentiate, to know what kind of power it is, we are in danger of being deceived. And we will bring much disgrace to the Lord than to further the kingdom of God. So, brothers and sisters, it is upon our heart that it is time for us to consider together before the Lord with humility and with openness of heart, to seek the Lord about this whole matter of spiritual power. For our consideration, we will just consider three different kinds of power that we are faced with. First, there is the human power or soul power. Second, there is the divine power or spiritual power. And third, there is the devilish power or evil power. And all these three powers are very real. Do not think that there is only God's power in this universe. There is soul power everywhere. And of course, there is evil power in this world. It is very difficult for us to distinguish these powers merely by their outward performance. Because if you look at outward performance, you almost cannot see the difference between soul power, God's power, and satanic power. The reason why God's people are so deceived, it is because they only look at performance. Performance will not tell us the difference. It is only when we look at the origin, the source, and also at the consequence, the effects, that we are able to distinguish these three kinds of powers. First, human power. Human power originates from the soul of the fallen man. It is soul power. It is psychic power. The psalmist David, in Psalm 139, verse 14, he said, "I will praise you, because I was fearfully, wonderfully made. How marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows it well." Brothers and sisters, we human beings are fearfully and wonderfully made. Not only wonderful, but fearful. Even with the advance of science today, with a surge of knowledge today, we still cannot figure out the power that is in man, in his body, in his soul, and in his spirit. Who can know the power of the body? Now that is the least part. Our brain, the power of our brain. The modern computer cannot be compared with the brain that God has made, wonderfully but fearfully. What can the mind think of? Fearful, when you think about it. And as a matter of fact, we are told that the brain power of man is only used a little bit. Lots of our brain power has not been utilized yet. Think of our body. How can our body adjust to our environment? The heat and the cold, and our body can adjust to them. We can adjust to our environments. There is such resilient power in our body to rejuvenate. The power of our physical body is wonderful and fearful. Think of our soul. God, when He made man, He took the red earth and formed it into the shape of a man. That becomes our body. Same elements as the red earth, coming out of earth and returning to earth. Then God breathed into the nostrils of that earthen form. And the Bible said man becomes a living soul. We human beings have a soul. We have emotions, we have intellect, we have volition, will. And who can measure the power of our soul? You remember Adam, the first one created? God gave him dominion over the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, the fishes of the sea. He has control over all these living creatures. And think of Adam, he has never been to college. And yet when God led all these animals before him, all these beasts and all these creatures, creeping things before him, he looked at them and named them one by one. A natural zoologist. Soul power, tremendous. And God put him in a garden. I believe it must be a huge garden. And God said, watch it. There was no wall to that garden. If the garden is worrying, and probably with one gate only, that Adam became the gatekeeper, and it was easy to keep the garden from the intrusion of the enemy. But it was a public park, almost. Well, at that time, it's a private park. Belonged to Adam and Eve. And God said, got it. One person, with the help of his wife, are able to be the wall over the whole garden. What power there is. Because of the fall of man, that power is latent in human beings. It is the will of God that this soul power should be kept under restraint. So today, there is the latent power of the soul in man. And modern science, psychology, parapsychology, are just beginning to prove into that latent power of the soul. I'm not going to talk about that latent power. It's interesting, fascinating, but dangerous. Because God's will is, after man's fall, that soul power should be kept under control. It should not be released. If there is anyone who knows how to release a little bit of that latent power, he is able to do so much. He is able to rule and to control. And if you read history, you'll find many dictators. They know how to release some of their latent power. To influence, to control, to rule. But again I say, this latent power is under restraint. First, it is being kept in this fallen body. Our body is a natural restraint to that latent power. If you know how to deliver yourself from your body, or even the consciousness of your body, you are able to release latent power of the soul. Well, think of our spirit. Before man's fall, our spirit has tremendous power. Of all the creations in this world, man has the ability to know God, to communicate with God, and to receive God into his being. To be united with God in life. And all this all in the spirit of man. But unfortunately, because of man's sin, that spirit is dead to God. It is cut off from communication with its proper environment, which is God. Man has lost that power. Thank God, he's regained in Christ Jesus. Just think of the soul power of man. The enemy of God is trying to entice people to release their soul power. And unfortunately today, we find modern man is trying hard to release that soul power. A power for the good of us. God said it should be under restraint and not to be released. Then there is another power. It is divine power. God is the supreme power over all powers. He is the origin of real spiritual power. You remember David? In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, he says, "Thine is the greatness and the power and the glory." In Psalm 62, verse 11, "Once God has spoken, twice have I heard that power or strength belongeth to God." God is the source of power. Divine power, spiritual power. Our God is omnipotent. He is the Almighty God. There is nothing He cannot do. You cannot limit Him in any way. It is by His power that He created all things. He created you and me by His power. His power is pure, spiritual, heavenly, divine. Selfless, everlasting. If you contrast soul power with spiritual power, you will find it is the difference between heaven and earth. God's power is heavenly. Human power is earthly. God's power is selfless. Human power is self-centered. If you look at the outward performance, human power or soul power is often a substitute for God's divine power. We substitute it, and yet we do not know it. How many of God's people today live by His soul power instead of God's power? How many work of God is done by soul power instead of spiritual power. Spiritual power gives us the ability to do God's will. Soul power. Do not think that soul power gives you the ability to God's will. It is just the opposite. Soul power gives you the ability to do your own will. Spiritual power gives us the ability to do God's work. Do not think that soul power can do God's work. Many people are trying, are doing it. But remember, the work that they have done, the Lord will say, I do not know you. It corrupts God's work. It confuses God's work. It destroys God's work. Spiritual power leads us to God. Soul power leads us to ourselves. Spiritual power builds up spiritual character, that we may be like Christ. Soul power builds us ourselves. Again, there is a third power in this world. It originates from Satan. Satan means adversary, the enemy of God. He was created as a brilliant, beautiful, gifted archangel. Lucifer. I wonder whether he is the first created angel. He is the anointed angel, cherub, guarding the throne of God. He is giving great beauty, gifts, power. But unfortunately, he thought of himself instead of his Creator. I wonder whether in the beginning he was the one whom God had appointed to lead the angelic forces to worship and to praise God. But gradually, pride entered into his heart. He wanted that glory. He wanted that worship. He wanted to be equal with God. A created being wanted to be equal with his Creator. He turned himself into Satan, adversary of God. Yes, he was cast out of the presence of God. But he led one third of the angels into rebellion. He set up his own kingdom of darkness. Very powerful. Very gifted. But our Lord Jesus said, in John chapter 8, verse 44, the Lord said, your father, that is Satan, he is a murderer from the very beginning. He does not stand in truth, for there is no truth in him. When he speaks falsehood, it is out of himself. He is a liar and the father of liars. Do not for a moment think there is not an evil power in this world. Some people try not to believe in Satan. Now, of course, we do not believe that Satan will have horns, tails, ugly. The Bible says he is beauty. Nevertheless, he and his followers and many of his demons are in this world. Evil power is something to be recognized with. Because many people do not believe in devilish power, evil power. And I believe it is evil, the evil one, that makes you believe there is no evil power, so that he can control you. You know, in the time of Moses, you remember Moses sent by God to Pharaoh, deliver God's message to Pharaoh. Let my people go, that they may serve me. And of course, Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. So God, through Moses, performed miracles and wonders, signs. But when Moses was performing these wonders and miracles and signs, in the court of Pharaoh, there were magicians, there were scribes, and they did the same thing. Moses threw down his staff, and it became a serpent. And the scribes, they threw down their staffs, and all became serpents. But Moses' serpents swallowed all of their serpents. Moses raised up his staff over the Red Sea, over Nile, and it turned red, blood. People could not eat the blood, eat the water. And the magicians did the same thing. Moses called the frogs, overwhelmed the whole land of Egypt, into the palace, on the beds of Pharaoh. The magicians did the same thing. They brought the frogs in. If you read 2 Timothy, Paul even gave the names of two of the magicians, Jannes and Jambres. They withstood Moses with miracles, with wonders, evil power. But of course, evil power is limited. Not like God's power is unlimited. So when Moses strike the dust and they turn into nuts and get on people's body and even get on the magician's body. And they try that magic and it didn't work. So finally they acknowledge it is the hand of God. So brothers and sisters, remember, there is evil power in this world. Counterfeits. If you look at outward performance, the same thing. No difference. But the source is different. The result is different. In the New Testament, we are told that our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Brothers and sisters, do not think that your enemies are flesh and blood. Outwardly, yes. It may be your neighbor. It may be your friends or your enemy or even members of your own family. And it seems as if they are warring against you and you are striving against them. But you know, it's all a deception. You're fighting the wrong enemy. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and authorities and the universal lords of darkness and the spiritual powers of wickedness in the heavenlies. Brothers and sisters, evil power is very real. But it is a counterfeit. It tries to confuse spiritual power. Evil power is also spirit power. But for our consideration, I want to narrow the word spiritual. Not just spirit power, but spiritual power. I want to narrow it to that real spiritual power. That is of God. That is beneficial to us. That builds us up. Evil power, satanic power, devilish power, demonic power, these powers destroy people. They lead people away from God into perdition, into destruction. So now, brothers and sisters, we have here at least three different powers before us. Now, what is the Word of God concerning these three different powers? So far as human power or soul power is concerned, because of the fallen condition of man, it is the will of God that we should not live, work, or use that latent power of the soul. We should be afraid of that power. Now, I wonder, brothers and sisters, whether you see what that power is. I'm afraid most Christians do not know the difference between spirit and soul. As a matter of fact, you know, in the world, they do not see the spirit at all, because it is dead. I remember when I was a boy, we have a lady missionary living with us. We called her grandma. She led my father to the Lord. She is from Virginia. She came to China. She was the principal of an English school, and my grandfather sent my father to that school to study English so that he can help my grandfather with his business. But when my father was in that school, this lady led my father to the Lord. And when she retired, instead of coming back to this country, she stayed with us. And whenever she was frustrated, she always said, "Oh, my soul and body. Now, where is the spirit?" You know, in our mind, it is just soul and body. Outside is the body, inside is the soul. Nothing else. Now, to an unbeliever, that is partly true. I say partly true because in an unbeliever, their spirit is dead to God, but very much alive to the evil power. Well, if you come from China, you understand that. You still can communicate with the evil spiritual world, but there is no communication with God. Even in Christian theology today, you know, the mainline fundamental Christian theology in this country believes that we are made of two parts, not three parts. They believe the spirit is part of the soul. In this world, psychology began to prove into the soul. Psychology is a science of the soul. But when they prove into the soul, they discover something deeper than the soul. They call it parapsychology. They think it's still part of the soul. What a confusion. People do not know the difference between the spirit and the soul. And because they do not know the difference between the spirit and the soul, they cannot distinguish spirit power and soul power. Many Christians are living their Christian life by their soul power. They use their strong determination to be a good Christian. They make vows and promises year after year. Next year, I won't do this, I will do that. And the following year, they have to make the same promise. Many Christians today love the Lord. But if you prove the source, it is self-love, not agape love. They love because in the way they think God should be loved. Why? Because that's the way they love themselves. Many people stir up their emotion thinking that this is the way to worship God. But God is spirit. You cannot touch Him with soul. Many think that they may serve God by thinking out many brilliant ideas how God should be served. Do you think you're wiser than God? God needs you to be His counselor, to create to think of some creative ideas for God, because He is not able to think about these things. Brothers and sisters, we do not know ourselves. We are using our soul power all the time in spiritual things. May I humbly say, most of our Christian life are lived by our soul power. Sometimes we regret that our will is not iron enough. We regret that we are not as brilliant. Many, most of our service to God is done in soul power. You know, great will be the day when you begin to fear of yourself. Our brother mentioned last night about Martin Luther. You know, Martin Luther, we think of him as a person who is so courageous, so brave. He could face the emperor, the pope, the cardinals, the nobles. And yet he said, I'm afraid of the pope within me. He speaks of himself. The theologian of Reformation, Philip Melanchthon, brilliant person. He said, this old Adam in me is too much for young Melanchthon. I'm not his equal. Brothers and sisters, I wonder whether you have come to this point. If you have never realized your soul power and the damage it can do to your life, spiritual life, and to God's work, you have not yet found the secret into spiritual power. It is only when can we come to the end of ourselves It is only when we give up our soul power, become powerless, then the power of God is manifested. So, brothers and sisters, we need to ask the Lord to open our eyes, to see that whatever power that comes from our natural being, from the fallen man, from the old Adam, from self, all these need to be delivered to the cross. That is the way of God. The latent power of the soul today naturally is under the restraint of the body. You know why people want to do all these oriental meditations and things like that? You know why in the last days, as we find in the scripture, that people should not eat meat and should not get married? Now these becomes the teaching of Satan. Why is it? It is because you're trying to get rid of the control of your body. If you're able to control your body, put it underneath you, and you're able to get out of your body, that latent power of the soul is released. I have friends whose soul can go out and see visions. I know of people, they can prophesy. They can see things in thousands of miles away. Well, use a little illustration. I remember once a principal of a high school told me. She is a believer. She loved the Lord. But when she was a student, you know, during the examination time, they were very tense because they did not know what the teacher, the question would be. So this is what they did. They use hypnosis. And when she was under hypnotic power, she was able to go into the teacher's room and saw all the questions there. When the soul is lifted out of the body, the latent power is released. People under hypnosis can choose iron. Why? Because they are out of their consciousness. Consciousness is a natural protection. Well, I shouldn't get into this. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, you know, some dictators, they are vegetarians because they want to release their latent power. In this world, you can be a success if you're able to release your latent power. You can control people. But this is against God's law. Because man has fallen, God said that soul power has to be under restraint. God used our body to restrain our soul power. You are more powerful when you are subconscious than when you are conscious. And furthermore, we who are the Lord's, He wants our spirit to control our soul. So, dear brothers and sisters, never try to turn to the way of solar power. It's dangerous. Because the scripture tells us, James chapter 3, verse 15, the wisdom that is from beneath is earthly, soulish, and devilish. Earth, soul, and devil are allies. Whatever is of the world, whatever is of the fallen nature of man, are allies to the devil. And if you prove into your soul power, eventually you will fall into devilish power. You are treading on thin ice. Very dangerous. So, dear brothers and sisters, concerning soul power, what is the will of God? The will of God is we need to recognize it, to be afraid of it, afraid of your soul power more than afraid of sin. When our Lord Jesus was on earth, Satan tempted him, tried to bring out his soul power. And you know, our Lord's soul power is pure because he had not fallen. He is not fallen. He never falls. He is sinless. Even his humanity is sinless perfect. Therefore, his soul is pure. And his power, soul power, is powerful and pure. Even if he uses soul power, it is not sin. Not unless. If we use our soul power, it's sinful. And Satan tried to tempt him to use his soul power. Turn the stone into bread. You're hungry. Do it for yourself. You can do it. The Lord said, man do not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Throughout his life, he denied his soul power. He said, I can do nothing of myself. Is it true? In one sense, he can do many things. He can do more things than Adam can. But he said, I can do nothing out of myself because he has delivered himself to the cross. Throughout his life, he just allowed the power of God to go through his being and be manifested. And the work is done. Remember Paul? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, I have the sentence of death upon me, that I do not trust in myself and trust in the one who raises me from the dead. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you want to experience spiritual power, you have to deny your soul power. There is no other way. So far as soul power is concerned, it needs to go to the cross. So far as evil power is concerned, it needs to be rejected. You know, if you read the Old Testament, for instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, you find there all these devilish powers or abominations in the sight of God. When our Lord Jesus was earth, He cast out the demons. He will have nothing to do with evil power. When these demons cry out, "You are the Holy One of God," shut up. And in casting out the demons, He demonstrates the power of God. You remember one day Paul, he was in Philippi, and there was a slave girl with a spirit of Python. And she made her masters wealthy because she could prophesy. And she followed Paul every day and said, "Oh, these are the servants of God. They come to preach you the gospel of salvation." Oh, as if evil power is helping God in the preaching of the gospel. And He always does. He's still doing it today. But what is Paul's attitude? He was distressed. He was angry. Indignant. He turned around and said, "Get out. I have nothing to do with you." Brothers and sisters, with evil power, we need to take a stand. Stand. Withstand. And to stand. That is our attitude. Soul power is a substitute. Evil power is a counterfeit. One needs to be denied. The other needs to be rejected. And that is the will of God. So, brothers and sisters, we are left with a real spiritual power. Soul power, go. Satanic power, go behind. All we need to seek is the power. Do you know the divine power is our inheritance? It is our birthright. What is power? What is the difference between power and authority? Power is ability to act. Strength. Authority is freedom to act. Right to act. That's authority. Several years ago, we share here on spiritual authority. And we say spiritual authority originates in God. God is the only authority in this universe. All authorities come from God. Set up. He is the authority. Sometimes He may delegate authorities to people. But those who are given authority never become authority. Now, I hope, brothers and sisters, you should still remember that. Authority is in God. God is the authority. Authority is in God. Nothing else. He may delegate authority to certain people. But the authority that that person has is the God in him or in her. Not he or her. Now remember this. Sometimes people are given authority and their mind began to turn. They think, now we are authorities. That's the fall of authorities. Nothing corrupts people more than authority. Because you think you're authorities now. You can give command and order and do things as you wish. No. You are only representative of God's authority. Unless you put yourself under the authority of God, you have no authority whatsoever. The same thing is true with power. God is power. Power resides in God. Whatever power you may receive is God Himself in you. It is not you. You are only an agent, a vessel, a channel. You are not the power. All power belongs to God. You are not able to save a single person. Whether he is a gentleman, as our brother said, or he is the most wicked person in the world, you are not able to save either one. You may think it's easier to save a wicked person than a gentleman. Humanly speaking, yes. Spiritual speaking, no. You are not able to save anyone. It is the power of God in you that saves, not you. And do not think now you are a soul winner. We have no power whatsoever except in Christ. So remember this. Now we'll talk about that later on, but not today. I'm half through. Because we are 15 minutes late, so I will use that 15 minutes. Now, if you read the scripture, you will find this whole matter of power. I mean spiritual power, divine power. You find in the scripture, you can view it in this order. Number one, power originates from God. He is the origin of power. Therefore, any power that does not originate from God, any power that does not come from God, beware. It is a counterfeit, a substitute. If you touch power and you do not touch God. Something is questionable. Very questionable. God is the Almighty God. We already mentioned all power belongs to God. And that eliminates all the other powers that proves that any power that is outside of God is a substitute, is a pretension, is a deception, is a counterfeit, is a falsehood. We should never have anything to do with any power outside of God. God the Father is the source of all power. God the Son shares the power with His Father. You know, in creation, if you read the scripture, you will find that all things were created in the Son, by the Son, and for the Son. Colossians chapter 1. When God created, Christ is the engineer. He is the architect. And He is the heir. In incarnation, He emptied Himself of His omnipotence. He lay aside His almightiness. He became a little baby, need to be taken care of. He grew up as a man. He got weary, hungry, thirsty, suffered. He had soul power, pure soul power. But as we have already said, He denied all His soul power. And He just let God's power to go through Him. He was born by the power of the Highest overshadowed the womb of Mary. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power in His work. It is by the Eternal Spirit He offered Himself spotless to God on the cross to accomplish the work of salvation. And after He was raised from the dead, God has highly exalted Him. All power in heaven and earth are given to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, it says, Christ, God's power and God's wisdom. God the Holy Spirit is power. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. Ye shall receive the promise from the Father, and you shall be clothed with the power from on high. Brothers and sisters, there is no power outside of God. It is not in the world. It is not in the enemy, Satan. It is not in your natural being. These are counterfeits. They corrupt, they destroy, they oppose God. There is only one power, God. So remember this. We have to trace all power to God. If it does not come out of God, reject it. Deny it. Second, God exercises power in creation, in preservation, in government. By His power, He created the universe. Romans chapter 1 tells us, by the things that He had made, these visible, created things, we know the eternal power and the divinity of God. We know the eternal power of God and His divine character through the created things. And He holds creation together by His power. Today we find the whole universe, all the stars, the suns, the moon, the earth, they're all rotating in their orbit. They're held together by the power of God. And God rules over all things. Psalm 66, verse 7. God rules over all things by His power forever. Yes, Satan today is a usurper on this earth. He is called the God of this world, the ruler, the prince of this world. But he's a usurper. Over and above him, God rules. Thank God for that. Number 3. We are going through the whole scripture actually. Number 3. God demonstrates His power in history, past, present, and future. God demonstrates His power in history. Just to illustrate, God divided the Red Sea and let the children of Israel pass through on dry ground. Power. Today, God's power is manifested everywhere. The greatest miracle that we are noticing today is raising a spiritually dead person into spiritual life. That is the greatest miracle occurring all the time today. And in the future, you look at the book of Revelation, book of Daniel, and you see how the power of God will be manifested in the last days to bring all things back to God and judgment to the world. Number 4. God manifests His power in the things that He created, the animate as well as the inanimate things. Think of the power of the hurricane. Well, people say, man can overcome heaven. All right. Let the wind blow 150 miles an hour. And what can you do? Not only power in the wind, there's power in the fire. Oh, when the fire is burning, hundreds, thousands of acres burn. What can you do about it? Even in these inanimate things, God manifests His power in these things. And of course, in animate things, oh, think of a tiger, a lion, powerful. Unless you're Samson or Daniel. You have lost the power over lion, you know. Actually, God gave us power over lion. Come, sit down. But you try it today, it will work. You have lost that power. Number five. God gave power to man. When God created man, He said, have dominion over the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, and the fishes of the sea. God has given power to man. There is such power in man, in the soul of man. We have already mentioned it. But unfortunately, because of the fall of man, God said, it is for the good of man for that power to be under restraint. Do not think to release that latent power to be as Adam was before fall. It's a blessing. No. It's a curse. Even with the little power that is still available and released, what a curse has been brought into this world. Do not admire that power. God knows better. Let it be under restraint. Not be released. Deliver it to the cross. Deny it. Afraid of it. Don't cultivate it. But thank God. What was lost in the fallen man is recovered in the second man. You know, our Lord Jesus came into this world. He is the second man. The first man, Adam, sinned. And all in Adam sinned. The second man, Christ, came. And in Him, all are made alive. How did He restore power? He restored the power that God has given to man by laying it down. He laid down all His soul power. All the power that God had given to man, to Adam, He had it. As man. But He said, I can do nothing by myself. And because He laid down that power, so God gave Him back that power. All power in heaven and earth are given back. Brothers and sisters, now in Christ, power is recovered. But remember, on the same principle, we have to lay down ourselves in order to allow God's power to come through us. It is no longer just soul power. It is the spiritual power, the power of God that goes through our soul and be manifested. So the secret of spiritual power is powerless. If you still think you are powerful, God's power is imprisoned. But when you come to a place of powerlessness, to the end of your own strength, then the power of God began to be manifested in and through you. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we sense the incompetency of sharing on the supremacy of your power. We ask thee, Lord, by thy Spirit, thou wilt not only reveal it to us, but bring it to us. Pray that we may be delivered from all these counterfeits and deceptions. Lord, we want to touch thy power. We want to be like the church in Philadelphia, whom thou sayest thou hast a little power. Oh, but what power that is! What glory it brings to thee! Lord, we want that for thy own sake. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.